Good morning. My name is Bill Kleibke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Tom Saunders, who is president of Renaissance Productions and Tours and a great historian of Black Baltimore. Tom has done a number of things over the years, and I'm very pleased that he's come along today to talk with us again. Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I looked, it's been almost 2 years since you've been on the show.
Oh, it's been that long?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Flies. Too long. But welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You're welcome. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you please tell us a little bit about Renaissance Productions and Tours?
Yes, Renaissance Productions and Tours has been around since 1990. And we specialize in the African-American history of Baltimore City. And we've branched out to include the entire state of Maryland now.
Uh-huh, great.
And we also take tours, you know, to other places such as New York. The Harlem tour has been added to our repertoire.
That's wonderful. How can somebody get in touch with?
Well, they can call us at 410-728-3837. Or they can go to our website, which is www.renaissanceproductions.biz. That's .biz.
Ooh, you're one of those bizzes.
Yeah, biz, like show biz.
Ah.
Because we are a production company, and what makes us different from the other tour companies is that history comes to life on a Renaissance tour. You know, we have actors who portray Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Henry Box Brown, John Brown, Billie Holiday, Isaac Myers. So history comes to life on a Renaissance tour.
That's wonderful. What kind of, let's see, well, before I ask you more about Renaissance production and tours, please tell us about your background and what you're up to.
Oh, well, anyway, you know, you've been knowing me for years. You know, I worked for the Baltimore City Community Relations Commission for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And I was the head of the community education division, which no longer exists. Also, I operated the city's rumor control center. And so I was born here in Baltimore City. You know, I went to Baltimore Polytechnic Institute and the University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Great.
And so history has always been my favorite subject.
Yeah, and frankly, you've been involved in some history over the years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I was a campaign manager. You know, back I was Melvin Stooks' campaign manager when he became the first African American from the 6th District of Baltimore City.
And that's a story in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how things change.
Oh, yes, I've seen the city change. You know, it seemed like it changes every day. You know, I was shocked when I came here. I was looking to pull up to the old parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And so when I saw all of this new construction, I didn't know what to do initially.
Yeah, right. And it'll change again in a couple of years, too.
It'll change again.
In some cases, change for the better, though.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases.
Now, Bill, recently, what I wanted to talk about is recently, November the 1st, we celebrated Jubilee here in Baltimore City. And it was a statewide celebration, but here in Baltimore City, Visit Baltimore, which is the city's office of tourism, hired me to conduct a tour in honor of Jubilee, which was the freeing of the slaves in Maryland. They freed the slaves in Maryland November the 1st, 1864, because, you know, the Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation was a punishment against the Confederate states. You know, states like Delaware, Kansas, Missouri, Maryland, didn't free the slaves that were a part of the Union. But the Maryland General Assembly, before the passing of the 13th Amendment, freed the slaves in Baltimore, and we celebrated Jubilee throughout the state of Maryland.
Right, that's 150 years.
Yes, 150 years.
Wow.
That's correct.
Wow. And you took them all around?
We took them to the three major African-American museums. Mm-hmm. We started with breakfast at the Douglas Myers Maritime Park, dedicated to Frederick Douglass and Isaac Myers. And I gave them a tour of that facility. And then we went to the National Gray, Blacks, and Wax Museum. And we went to the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. and all here in Baltimore City.
You better tell folks a little bit about some of those folks, because I'd be willing to bet some of our listeners don't know who Frederick Douglass is.
Okay, well, Frederick Douglass was a famous abolitionist who was born in Talbot County on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, mm-hmm. but he came here to Baltimore as a boy, and he lived in the Fells Point area. You know, eventually when he became a teenager, they sent him back to the Eastern Shore where he worked as a field slave, but he came back to Baltimore to live with Hugh All, who rented him out to the shipyards. Mm-hmm. And Frederick Douglass represents the early African-Americans who dominated the maritime industry in Baltimore City. And also on that site is dedicated to Isaac Myers, who was 17 years younger than Frederick Douglass and had a completely different life. Unlike Frederick Douglass, he was born free. But he, too, had worked in the shipyard and learned to be a caulker. And after they had the race riots down in the harbor, you know, many African Americans mm-hmm. were forced out of their jobs. Eventually, Isaac Myers, along with 14 men from the Bethel AME Church and the Sharp Street United Methodist Church, came together and they purchased the Chesapeake Railway Dry Dock Company, the first black-owned shipyard in the world.
Hmm.
And they put African-American men back to work. And that corporation stayed in operation for over 17 years.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so that was the first stop, and then we went to the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum, which was the dream of the late Dr. Elmer Martin. He always believed that cultural development and economic development go hand in hand. People often wonder, why would you put the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum in this dilapidated section of East Baltimore? But he believed that if you ignore the community, then everyone else would. And so in order for that community to change, you have to invest in it and place, you know, a business or something there. And so the Great Blacks and Wax has been a catalyst for the new development that you see. You know, across the street, you now have a market, apples and oranges, and the Roberta March home is over there, and you have a dentist. And so, you know, you see that being a catalyst for change in that community.
Right. Plus it also is something that really everybody can learn from and enjoy.
Oh, right, because there, I mean, you have the complete history. You know, you start with the ancient Africans, and one side of the museum is dedicated to what is this thing called slavery, and on the other side is what is this thing called freedom. Hmm. And then we have the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, you know, and he's a legend in itself. You know, Reginald Lewis was born here in Baltimore, graduated from Dunbar High School, eventually graduated from Harvard Law School, and as an attorney, he was very skillful at mergers. Finally, he acquired a company for himself that was McCall's. Women used to use McCall patterns to make dresses.
Right.
And at the time of his death, he owned Beatrice International Holdings, one of the largest food conglomerates in the world.
I was going to say, I've seen Beatrice.
Yeah.
I've seen that name on the bottom of a lot of stuff.
Yes. And so you know, the museum is named in his honor, and that museum is dedicated to Maryland's African-American history and culture.
And that's a place that has a lot of great exhibitions.
Oh, right.
They've got a really good one right now, I know.
And I'm trying to remember.
It's on the Civil Rights Heroes.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, Civil Rights Heroes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, with including John Lewis.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, Congressman John Lewis. But it's definitely a place that people should check out.
Absolutely.
Definitely a place. One of the things, every time I talk to you, I realize, Tom, that Baltimore really has been the center of an awful lot of the civil rights and African American experience.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when people talk about civil rights, generally people think about the 60s.
Yeah.
But, you know, during the Reconstruction era, that was the civil rights. You know, that's when we had the first civil rights legislation, you know, starting with the emancipation of the slaves.
Right.
You know, and then the three amendments were added to the Constitution, 13th Amendment abolishing slavery throughout the United States, the 14th Amendment making anyone born on American soil a naturalized citizen, and then the 15th Amendment guaranteeing all men the right to vote in America.
Yeah, and Baltimore is in the middle of all that.
Yeah, yes, Baltimore was in the middle of all of that. And, you know, and we were a part of the union and very active because one thing, during Reconstruction, the union troops occupied Baltimore. Lafayette Park, Druid Hill Park, Curl Park was occupied by the union troops. And it was safe for African Americans as a result of the union occupation. You know, throughout the South, they occupied territory. And so when black men got the right to vote, they could go vote. Yeah, but then it all came to an end in 1877. You know, Rutherford B. Hayes, you know, wanted to be president of the United States. Yeah. And he cut that deal with the Southern Democrats.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, you know, the Union troops withdrew, and you had the first rise of the Ku Klux Klan. And as a result of their burning, you know, terrorism is what it really was, to burn a cross on someone's lawn, lynching people and burning their houses down. By 1900, there were no more African Americans left in office in the South except here in Baltimore City. You know, and our last one was 1928.
Wow.
So then we had to start all over again. So that's how we come into the modern civil rights movement.
Yeah.
You know, with people like W.E.B. Du Bois, you know, and the formation of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And today we still have that great connection because now the headquarters, which had always been in New York since 1909, mm-hmm. they moved this headquarters to Baltimore in 1986, thanks to Clarence DuBurns, Mayor
yep.
Clarence DuBurns.
Yeah. The first African-American mayor of Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I wonder how many people out there of our listeners remember Clarence DuBurns.
Yeah, so he's definitely a historical figure. And when you talk about civil rights, you know, people like Harvey Johnson come to mind. You know, Harvey Johnson was the pastor at Union Baptist Church, and we called him the father of civil rights, you know, in Baltimore City. He worked with W.E.B. Du Bois. He was at the initial Niagara meeting.
Hmm.
You know, and so it was the Niagara movement when back in 1905 that evolved to the NAACP in 1909.
So it was only right that the NAACP came back to Baltimore.
Absolutely, because I always thought of Baltimore being the cradle of the civil rights movement. You know, we have great people from here, people like Clarence Mitchell Jr. You know, our courthouse in downtown Baltimore mm-hmm. is named in his honor. You know, he was the great lobbyist called the 101st Senator, even though they were only 100 U.S. Senators. He was so visible throughout the halls of Congress, they referred to him as Senator. And he was the one who galvanized enough votes for the passing of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Yeah, which and made everything possible.
Right, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
Yeah.
And then we have Thurgood Marshall. You know, he was born here in Baltimore at 1632 Division Street. And, you know, he was a civil rights giant, you know, as an attorney.
Right.
And when he argued Brown versus the Board of Education, that was monumental to desegregate the schools. And then, of course, you know, he became the first African-American Supreme Court justice.
I'll tell you, Baltimore really has been. And I know that your company does tours of these things, too.
Oh, yes. We visit these places. You know, a lot of these places are drive-by, like the birthplace of Thurgood Marshall. And even when you think of Billie Holiday, the legendary jazz and blues singer, you know, many don't think of her in terms of civil rights. But one thing that, you know, that she was advised not to record Strange Fruit, but that's her legacy. She brought the world attention to lynching.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good she did. It's good she did. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, Tom, and I wanted to ask you, how can somebody get in touch with you and Renaissance Productions to take some of these tours?
Yes, give me a call at Renaissance Productions, 410-728-3837. Or you can email me at Renaissance 2222 at csandcatssandsam.com.
Great. Or go on to
to the website www.renaissanceproductions.biz.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And folks, you should do it. As you can tell from the last 15 minutes, this man knows Baltimore. This man knows Baltimore. So, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Tom Saunders, president of Renaissance Productions and Tours, and the best historian of African-American Baltimore and Baltimore that I have ever met. Tom, thank you so much.
And thank you for having me.
For living in Baltimore, that's all we've got time for. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.